way out of hand. Just kidding. Somebody told me that that car honked 7 times. All right, the timing of the first advent. The timing of the first advent is to be determined by the doctrine of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. Jesus bore sins towards the end of the 69th week. He was born in the 64th week. Now, you say, well, when did the first week start? You have to go back to the doctrine, and there was a decree that was issued by a Persian monarch relative to the go-ahead to build the second temple. And when that happened, that's when the button pushed and we start the 70 weeks of years. And then, of course, 1 through 69 all followed consecutively. And because nobody among the prophets of old knew that there was going to be a church age, they knew something was up. And they struggled with the idea that what is the relationship time-wise between the sufferings of Christ and his kingdom? The establishment of his kingdom. That they had a problem with. They did not have a problem with the fact that Israel, who is the chosen people and was to be God's priest nation and witness to all the other nations, would be set aside. That's coming up later in Romans. Would be set aside and a new people of God would be plugged in. That's you and I. In the church age and its dynamic. And in this one, unlike the age of Israel, we're all royalty and we're all believer priests, even the ladies. We're a royal priesthood. There was no royal priesthood in Israel. The priests were all in the tribe of Levi and the royalty was in the tribe of Judah. So they could not work this out. Both Moses and Hosea indicated that there would be plugged in a new people of God, a new, quote, if you will, chosen people. That does not mean that the setting aside of Israel was a permanent deal. That was only going to exist until a generation of the Jews showed up to merit reestablishing them as the centerpiece in God's plan, which will happen at the rapture. The setting aside occurred on Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. That's the start of the church age. Okay, what am I? Things to know, but it's not in the points here, but we've been over them again and again. God never does anything of significance, of monumental significance, without giving his positive servants and prophets who can relay this information to those that are interested, a heads up. This is going to happen. First example. Very first example. Noah knew how long it was going to be between he began the project of and his sons building that ark to the floodwaters hitting. He knew the time. He wasn't like, I don't know, we better hurry and get this done. We never know when God might drop this on everybody. No. That project took 120 years, I believe. At least a century plus. And they knew. They knew exactly when the year. That for me, that's always close enough. I don't have to know the day or the hour. Israel, information was revealed through Abraham about the Jews captivity in Egypt, and they knew how long it would be from the call of Abraham to the day they walked out of Egypt. They knew it. It's not that everybody had it. Moses processed it wrong when he tried to deliver them 40 years ahead of time. He was off 40 years. And again, they had just nothing but oral tradition handed down. Of course, Jeremiah in his writings revealed, and Daniel was studying his writings, and Daniel figured out, this wasn't revealed through Daniel, it was revealed through Jeremiah, the prophet, in situ, on site, during the Nebuchadnezzar invasion and deportation of the Jews under the second dispersion. He said they would be captives. In other words, the Jews would be a non-nation, the land's there, in decline, and it would be 70 years. So when Daniel had his breakthrough and got a hold of Jeremiah's prophecy, he's praying in Daniel 9, he's praying about getting, because they're going to be able to leave Babylon if they want to go. Nobody was forced to. It was all volunteer. And so they left at the end of the 70 years. And that's when Daniel was praying, and it's called the interrupted prayer. Gabriel shows up in front of him with the doctrine of Daniel's 70 weeks of years. That's how he got that transmitted to him. That's just aside information. And as I said, we know the timing of the first advent. There was a man who knew. And he in his prayer was that he would live, because he was elderly, that he would live long enough to see with his own eyes the Savior. And that's Simeon in the temple holding baby Jesus in his arms and prophesying about it. Where do you get off acting like that? Who are you to ask God to get? He knew the time, and his life was about over, but based on his age and so forth. So he prayed that God would keep him alive so he could have this one final phase two blessing. And you can read about that in the Gospels. So again, they would have known the timing of the first advent. It wasn't up for grabs. So that's in due season. Now that brings us to the second advent. And of course, subsequent to all that, the New Testament revealed the phenomena of the church age and how the church age would end with this rapture event. And this would start up the 70th week of years. So all the sevens all down through there. If you go to 33 AD, again, as I said, this year is 2021. Now, what's the issue here? The issue is what we studied recently in the doctrine of the fig tree. I've gone over it in my mind every day. I probably go over at least once the details. The disciples ask a question. They're all hyped up about the second coming, right? They're Jews. They know Jesus is the Messiah. And of course, they're going to stumble through the crucifixion event, but they want to know what the sign of his coming was. Singular. He didn't say, what are the signs? We often say signs of the end. What is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Which relates to the second advent, because they could not possibly have in their thinking anything about the church age. That wasn't available information. So people do this all the time, by the way. What's the sign that we're going to do this? I'm going to give you a sign. And that's when you move. That's when you act. And that therefore is what people do. I'll give you a sign. I'll give you a signal, if you will. A nonverbal signal that you know when to implement whatever it is we're talking about. Jesus would correct anybody if they were asking for something that wasn't appropriate and would say it's not for you to know. Any sign. All bunch of the theologians and scholars of the church age have repeatedly said that this is kept a total secret and nobody in Jesus could come any old time, any time in the church age, which is so wrong. It's, first of all, the whole tribulation event and everything that concludes in it is all surrounding national Israel. Well, there was no national Israel from 70 AD, 37 years into the church age. There was no national Israel until 1948. They were Jews scattered among the nations. Yes, some Jews visited the land, but they didn't have a they didn't have the construction of a nation with all the things you have to have as a nation. You know, officials and all of it. They became a nation and was declared such by the United Nations on the 14th of May, 1948. And by the way, that is in the spring, isn't it? Okay? Now, he gives them all this other stuff that's going on in before and after and on into the tribulation. And then in the middle of it, he drops in, now learn the parable of the fig tree. It's an order. Learn it. Now, when you see, and specifically, a tree goes in all the seasons of the year, from the winter season where it looks like it's dead, and then it comes back to life and starts showing, like all plants, a little bit of green stuff on it, on the limbs, the branches. That's leaves. That's the canopy to protect the oncoming fruit down the road from the sun, as in trees, fruit trees. So in Mark 13, that version of the presentation, he says that when you see that, so when would a fig tree, start showing greenery? In the spring. Coincidentally, probably not coincidentally, Israel becomes a nation in the spring season, on into it, May. Israel becomes a nation. Ryrie, in his study Bible, he has a lot of good notes, but on this one, he says when Christ, in that same time frame, Jesus cursed a perfectly good fig tree. A lone fig tree, not in an orchard, out by itself. He cursed it. He goes and cleanses the temple. They come back and see this poor tree destroyed from the roots up. It's like a curse, and it just was amazing. It was like mind-boggling. Yeah, plants die, and we see them die. This was like supernatural death. Well, Ryrie, in his study Bible, says, but that's Israel. That represents Israel. But not in Mark 13. And then in his footnote, he says, what that is all this signs of the end. What we call birth pains and stuff. What? So you're arbitrarily, on this occasion, where all the rest of these verses, you say it's the fig tree, you drop the ball there. And I know why he does. It scares him. Because if it is the fig tree, budding, starting new life, 1948, a new startup for a new nation, the second time, first time coming out of Babylon, second time, startup for a new nation. I'm not including the Joshua thing. So, if that's the case, it's the fig tree. Someone else says, well, some other fundamentalist church says it's what's going to happen to the Jews when they have to flee to the mountains. Well, that's stupid. You wouldn't need a fig tree analogy for that because they already know. If you're in the tribulation and you have the Bible that's spread everywhere, you can find out how many days are in the tribulation with no problem. You know when the rapture occurred. You know what day. You're in a day 84. Okay, you know that. And you know how many you got left? 1260, one half, 1260, the second half. It's in Revelation. So my whole point in belaboring this is this. If Israel reestablished is the fig tree, then ostensibly you could go on being a nation for a century. But that's the problem. He said that generation will not pass away. One generation follows another in human history. We even name our generations. I'm baby boomer. Out of World War II generation. And all the rest of them down. To the millennials. That don't know straight up from straight down. But they got a cell phone. I had to throw that in. Anyway. Not that because you're in that generation you have to be a dummy. You don't. You choose to be a dummy. Anyway. If that's the case, then we got max 80 years. And we're talking about the second advent, not the rapture. That's just a matter of subtracting 7 to get it. So there's that. And if this is the case, and then there's the other issue. This is this whole year. As I've told you before, God has a very organized way of doing things and keeps the typology intact. Jesus didn't die on any old day of the week or a month. He died on Passover. Jewish Passover. His and his disciples were celebrating it, the Last Supper, so forth. They were celebrating it in the upper room. And he was going to fulfill all those times of doing it. So Christ, and by the way, it happened to be a high Sabbath. Everything was kind of amplified. We won't get into that. But anyway, he goes to the cross on Passover. Well, when is he resurrected? God could have done it in 1 day, 4 days, 3. First fruits. First fruit screams resurrection in the Old Testament typology. And I don't have anything to account for the feast of unleavened bread. That started with first fruits and went for a whole week. And then, that's two feasts on which the prophetic fulfillment occurred in connection. Then you go all this time and you have this feast sitting out here called Pentecost. You can read about them in the Old Testament, what they were supposed to do on those days and the significance theologically. Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? Church age starts. We know the date. Everything. That's the start of the church age. So for all those who have said Jesus could have come at any old time is wrong, because there has to be a national Israel. At least give that a starting point. You can't have all these events in the trib with the Jews and the nations and not have and start the nation up the minute they're out. That's nuts. Things don't happen that way. So we go all the way to the fall feasts, and we'll do them in reverse. The last one is tabernacles, in which the Jews went out of their homes, cut down branches off of trees and built them kind of an arbor and sit out there for a whole week. That has a backward look to when they were in the wilderness. It'd be like going out and camping in your backyard for a week. And then you come to a future look, the millennium. It's a happy feast, okay? It's not a real solemn, it's happy, celebratory type of a feast. That represents the millennium, the 1,000 years. And before that is atonement. Now that is the most, I don't know what word I'm searching for here. That's introspective, real, not happy, happy, yeah, 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 yeah. Anyway, that's second advent for me. That's the second advent. Because at the second advent, all the Jews who had come to salvation and who realized how wrong they all were, they're going to come before the Lord and separate from the men and the women, and they're going to do a lot of penance and crying. Catharsis. So what do we have left? We have the Feast of Trumpets. Why does it have an advantage? Because there's a trumpet. There's a trumpet connected, blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn. There's a trumpet related to the second advent. You'll hear a trumpet blast. That's one thing. Secondly, It is the date on which Christ was born. That sounds pretty good. It's the first day of the Jewish civil calendar, New Year's. And if the rapture occurs on the Feast of Trumpets, then this would connect with Pentecost, which is starts the church age, and a feast ends it. That's all I'm saying. And if this dummy is right, we've got about 90 days left. That has scared the hell out of people. Scares me, because I had to teach it. Now, Tom Cheney, when he was here, he had it pushed all the way up till November for reasons I'm not going to get into. I'm not bad-mouthing that. I'm just, because I'm open-minded to this. Well, at least it'd be this year. Because if it isn't, we got to go another 7 years. I'm going to shoot myself. I can't imagine the United States of America at the spiral we're in. What country in history celebrates sexual deviancy by setting aside an entire month and honoring it? What civilization with any dynamic, moral dynamic, sets aside an entire month to celebrate, and they call it gay pride? Yeah, it's pride, all right. Somebody is telling me on break we can check it out and see if it's true. I'm not saying it dogmatically here. That the rainbow, which they hijacked for their little perverse thing, the original rainbow has 7 colors in it. The gay one only has 6. And the color that's taken out, I was just told this on break, was the purple color. Purple. You know, well, I don't have purple on, but purple. Royalty. Color of royalty. I don't know. This could be wrong. But in any case, Satan and his crowd like to mock and play with things. The number 6, that's sin, failure, and so forth. 7 is perfection. And of course, purple is royalty. It figure. What country celebrates this? Did they have a great gay pride month in Sodom and Gomorrah? No, they had 12 months of gay pride. And we saw what happened to them. And if you think their scripture backs this up, God's put things in His Word, and people can blow it off and all the things they want to do, but I can find it right here. It's in Peter, where it's a description of this, and that this place called the Dead Sea, and that's not, to say the least, environmentally friendly. And as sit there, and it's called the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea. He said, this is a reminder to the nations that this is what can happen to you if you follow this kind of deviancy. And it isn't only that it happened to them. There's other nations that were involved in these kinds of awfulness that suddenly became extinct. What happened to the Mayan civilization in South America? How they were an advanced civilization. Where'd they disappear to? Human sacrifice. But anyway, the verse I wanted to give you was 2 Peter 2:6. And if he, God, he gives a series of examples, and if he, God, condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, that stuff that fell out of the sky was really hot. Because their buildings were made out of mortar and that sort of thing. It reduced them to ashes. Having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. You want to follow in their perversion? And the Sodom and Gomorrah thing is used in the prophecies of the United States, as it was with Sodom and Gomorrah. So it will be with Babylon in her destruction. So that's what I have for you with regard to the timing on all of this. Continue to pray about it, because it would seem appropriate in every way I've looked at this, inside out, every way. Now we don't have any time left. Oh, we have some time left. So make the most of it. All right? We'll dismiss. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace that brings us together in these times. Continue to provide me and this congregation with the necessary wisdom and insight into your plan as we move to the end. In Christ's name, amen.